My scripture reading is in Genesis, and I'd like to go to Genesis 7, starting at verse 1. And I've said it many times, and I'll say it again, remind you, I love the book of Genesis. I love the recording of God's creation, and I just love what is recorded in God's Word of the things that happen in that particular book as mankind multiplied and went forth. So starting at 7:1, then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female, and of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and his female. Also of the birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made. Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean, and birds and everything that creeps on the ground, there went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. It came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600 years of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went up into the ark to Noah by twos, and all flesh in which was the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you for the record that we have of the beginning of creation. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, because you bring the good and the bad. You bring all as it happened, just as it happened. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that truth. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the remainder of this message, the words and thoughts that we express, and help them to be understood by each one as you would have them to hear it. And all these things we ask through Yeshua's name, and amen. And I'd like to bring to you my text, and it is in that chapter 7 and verse 15 and 16. And in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, it reads, they went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And they that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him up. The title of my message to you this morning is Door Closed Too Late. Did you know that contrary to what mainstream Christianity would teach and have you to believe, would you know that God has limits to His kindness, to His forgiveness, to His patience? Sure enough, if anybody had unlimited of love and forgiveness and patience and kindness and mercy and understanding, it surely would be Yahweh. He has it all in everything. But the point is, given a certain set of circumstances, God has boundaries and limitations. And if you don't believe that, or if you're hesitant to believe that, then what about Sodom and Gomorrah? Did God have limitations there on what He was willing to accept and how long He was willing to just let things go the way mankind chose to live their life? Did He let Sodom and Gomorrah just get by with anything and everything that they wanted to do? Obviously, absolutely not. And Sodom and Gomorrah reached that limit. And the circumstances that was prevalent called for justice, calls for a reaction from Almighty God, Almighty Yahweh. God's patience toward mankind has limits in regard to specific set of circumstances and exactly what the details were, whether that's something that God can go along with, whether He approves of the lifestyle and the behavior that is going on at that time. And I would say, Sodom and Gomorrah tells us, and the days of Noah tells us, God is going to only take so much of a certain behavior. Then He's going to deal out justice. And His justice is going to be true justice, exactly what is deserved by those doing whatever that demands the justice of God. The day of judgment always arrives. God is patient. He wishes no one to perish. But it also comes to the point where Yahweh can't wait any longer for people to change their ways and their behavior and their attitudes and their actions and reactions, because they are far from His. There needs to be drastic adjustment. And when God reaches His limitations, there's going to be justice. And someone would ask, what in the world was going on that caused such a reaction by God? Specifically in this case of Noah and the great flood over the whole earth. beyond a doubt, Noah will remain forever as one of the greatest preachers who have ever lived. Could you imagine God speaking to you and tell you that he was going to destroy the earth by a flood, something that had never happened before on the face of the earth, that God told you he was going to destroy the earth and all things that lived, things that lived and breathed, and this was something that had never been seen before or done before. And Noah preached the message for preparedness and watchfulness, getting ready for the judgment day. Noah preached this for 120 years. How many people on the earth at that time paid any attention at all to him? No doubt they heard words and heard the main message that he was bringing. But how many reacted? How many accepted his message? How many got ready and got prepared and changed their lives and their ways and their attitudes and behavior? Not one. 120 years of preaching a specific message, a specific event, a judgment day coming. You would think somebody would have reacted. But no one did. Or at least it's recorded that only Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives were the only ones on the face of the earth saved at that time. Isn't that astounding? Does that tell you somewhat of what the people were like at that time? You say, my goodness, must have been some really bad people there that could hear that for 120 years and yet it not even light a light. They didn't really evidently care. Maybe didn't even really think it was really going to happen, what Noah was saying. But did it happen? All evidences are by the Word of God, by archaeological studies, that it did happen. All cultures of this earth seem to all recall and record in their histories a great flood. Isn't that amazing? How was the earth at that point in time? Let's look at Genesis 6 and verse 11. I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by water. I'm in the wrong chapter. Need to go back to chapter 6 and verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. Boy, does that wake up your eyes a little bit? It almost seems like we're reading about right now. Could you not say amen to that? How close is this to what we have right now? Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. I'd say Yahweh reached his limit. And I would say, look out, because some big changes are coming. But isn't it something how patient God is? His patience is limited, but how patient it is that he would then, after speaking these words and telling Noah what he wanted him to do, he allowed Noah to preach 120 years. Noah saw the events that were taking place on the earth, and he perceived the inevitable consequences that were coming if those things continued, and he could not keep silent. With his heart overflowing, he became a preacher of righteousness. Let's speak of some main points to this Noah and the great flood. First of all, when we read of some of these accounts, we could come to the feeling and the understanding that sometimes we receive undeserved blessing through these accounts. We can say that. And apply it to yourself and family today. Sometimes we receive undeserved blessing through this prevalent circumstances. We don't know if Noah's children were true believers like their father, but they did heed to his prophetic counsel. Perhaps they were just in the right place at the right time, and God, through his mercy, spared them in order to perpetuate the race. We often receive a blessing for being in the right place at the right time. And that is perhaps why we should be very careful how we raise our children, what we will allow them to be exposed to, including the schools that we allow them to be sent to, the friends that we allow them to choose can influence them for the good or evil. Shem, Ham, and Japheth were in the household of Noah, and either directly or indirectly, deserved or undeserved, this allowed them to participate in the blessing of being delivered when the great day of judgment came to the earth. And it did come just as promised. You should thank God, and we should thank God every day of our life for the heritage that we have in this church of having godly parents that raised us up to know God and to know His ways and taught us the things of God. The ones that have gone on now before us, we have a great heritage here at this church. And this church would not be if it had not been for just a handful of dedicated brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, and friends. The great day of judgment is coming. And thank God for that wise counsel that we receive from the godly parents that we have. And we should always make sure that we hold that true and fast to us, to the end of our days, and be sure to heed that counsel from our moms and dads and others. Sometimes we receive undeserved blessings. Secondly, God always provides redemption. He always provides a way. The one who made the world will never turn it over completely to the forces of evil. He didn't do it in Noah's day. He didn't do it in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's not going to do it in our day. And I would say to you, God has limitations. He has expectations from us to a certain level, and of the earth as a whole and mankind. And I would say to you, when those limitations are reached, expect something very different to happen. Because God is not just going to ignore all that is being done or not done or said or not said in our day and time. He hears, He knows, He is judging, He is going to react. It may not be very good. We know what the Bible prophesies. We know that there is coming a great and terrible day of the Lord, speaking of the second coming of Yeshua to this earth. We know that there is a 7-year tribulation period of at least half of it, 3.5 years before that time, is going to be some of the most horrible, unimaginable things happen in relation to nature and this earth that you could ever possibly in your wildest imaginations come up with. But it's prophesied. And as such, it is going to happen. Now, whether some other things happen between that time and now, you know, I don't know. God is judging. God is looking. He's seeing. And it's not going unnoticed how man and women and the nations of this earth are conducting their lives. It's not as if it's hidden. God sees and He knows. And regardless of anyone else's judgment, the fate of all of this earth and the heavens and us is all in His hands. It all is held in His hands. Those who believe in Yahweh and commit themselves to His requirements will find security when the day of judgment arrives. And I would say, when you keep yourself as you should keep yourself in regard to Yahweh, and you do the things that He says to do, you abide by His laws and His statutes and His commandments, He always delivers His people out of everything, as the psalmist would say. Even to keeping your foot from stumbling against a stone, He's that observant to minor details, what we would call relatively insignificant. But He sees, He knows, and He knows who is in His family. He knows who is His son or daughter. And as a loving Father, He is going to keep you, help you, deliver you, sustain you, provide for you. It is not as if we are going to suffer as all the rest. Would you let your son and daughter, someone in your immediate family, would you have very little or no disregard toward them as you would anyone outside your family? Doesn't jive. Doesn't make sense. Yahweh loves and cares for and is concerned about each and everything that concerns us. And the last point I'd like to make today is one day, your last chance will happen. I'm not only speaking to this congregation here in our church, but I'm speaking to the ones that listen to us by the internet. And I'm saying to everyone, one day, your last chance will happen. You just can't keep on putting off decisions that affect eternity, life and death, being with your loved ones forever and ever and ever, being with Yahweh and Yeshua, being part of their family and being with them forever and ever and ever. One of the most significant verses in the entire flood story says, "And they went in, male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." What does that imply to you? To ones that are not one of the Lord's, it ought to put a little bit of fear inside you. Because the two emphasis here is that God knew Noah. He provided for him. He protected him. And he was going to deliver him. He provided the way. He spoke to Noah. Noah knew what was going to happen. It wasn't a secret. God was with Noah. He was going to stay with him. Noah was his. But the verse also contains a warning for every unrepentant sinner who is in the process of turning down the call of God. You ought to be cringing. Every unrepentant sinner that has said, in essence, no to the Holy Spirit of Yahweh and Yeshua sent to the unrepentant sinner, and yet they said no to the call. They said no to that tug in their heart that was the call of God to them. And the Holy Spirit tugged at their heart and said, "I want you in my family. You need me. There's something missing in your life. I can provide. Make the decision now. Accept Yeshua as the perfect sacrificial lamb, paying the price of death for you, dying, shedding his blood, paying the penalty for everyone who would accept the call. And all you have to do is say, 'Yes, Lord, I accept your son and the blood that he shed to pay the penalty for the sin that is in my life and the sin that is committed by every other human. I recognize that. I accept your plan. I want to be in your family. I want you to be my Father. And I hope that everybody that's hearing this message today will realize that one day your last chance is going to happen and the door is going to be shut. And there's no one can open the door except Yahweh. Don't you know it was some of the most horrible screams and cries for help and deliverance outside when that door was shut and outside the ark? Can you imagine the thousands upon thousands of people that was gathered around that ark as it was just pouring out bucketfuls of water? And they realized the door has been shut. They wanted in. But did Yahweh hear and answer their cries for help? Had His mercy reached an end? Had judgment arrived? Yes. He was not going to open the door. And it could have been thousands of moms and dads and sons and daughters, babies. You could imagine anything. The door was shut. It was not going to be opened by anyone, including Yahweh. He was not opening the door. 120 years had passed. The chance had happened. Decisions could have been made long before that, but they were not. Mainstream Christianity says that that is totally inhuman, that such an occurrence would happen and God would not hear the cries and answer and open the door. Yeshua says, I am the door. He who wants me and my Father, knock and come in. You will be welcome. So we say today, one day, your last chance will happen. There was no further opportunity. The door of mercy had been opened for 120 years, then it was closed. Theologians differ as to what is called the unpardonable sin. Some say that it's a sin of the tongue, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, as the Pharisees were doing in the New Testament account. Let's look at this if we can, David. Matthew 12, verse 31. And let's see what this is speaking of. When some people say the unpardonable sin is blasphemy, you could say belittling, whatever, of the Holy Spirit. And I say to you, the Holy Spirit is that tug that says, come on in. I want you in my family. The Holy Spirit is Yahweh's Spirit and Yahweh's and Yeshua's Spirit. And they both agree and are a perfect unity and harmony. And they both, through the Holy Spirit, they both call you to come to them. Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And there you have it. You can decide for yourself. That's the way it reads. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Now, who was the Son of Man? Most would say Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. That sounds super serious to me. Perhaps it's because that spirit is what ultimately brings you to know God and ultimately brings you and tugs at your heart and lets you know that something is missing. You need something you don't have. That is the greatest of forces, the Holy Spirit. And it is many things, but you could just look at it as the loving call of Yeshua and Yahweh, wanting you to come, wanting you to stop putting off. Make the decision. Don't keep saying, not now. Maybe a little later. There's others that says that the unpardonable sin is one's continual rejection of the Holy Spirit's tugging at the heart. That continual rejection will commit one to be lost eternally, just as surely as if they had committed an unpardonable sin. That continual rejection, continual not now, maybe later. Even God cannot save a person until he or she repents, accepts the plan of salvation, accept Yeshua's shedding of his blood as the perfect Passover Lamb of God, paying the penalty, paying the price. We can live a sinful life too long, and judgment will come upon us. We may say, not just now, a final time. Do you not realize that your final time might very well be in the here and now, and it might very well be when you breathe your last breath? It could be the next minute. It could be 1 hour away. It could be 1 day away. It could be 1 week away. It could be 1 year away. But it could be the next breath that you take. When it is that final time, however it goes with you, when that last breath is drawn, it will be a forever situation. You will be forever saved, eternally saved, or you will be forever lost. And I present to you, you won't get a second chance. Everybody has their own opinion about second chances. And in this day of mercy and forgiveness only, nothing surprises me. But I would say to you, you're getting a fair and just chance right now. Take heed. Make the decision. Accept Him now. Live for Him now. Hold to Him forever. That last part is important. Get Him. Keep Him, hold Him forever. and you will be forever saved. You will be a son or daughter of Almighty God Yahweh, and you will be in His family forever and ever and ever. Doesn't that sound wonderful? And something to look forward to. If you would, stand with me, and let's read our blessing to God, to us and us to each other. And I want to wish all of you a wonderful Shabbat Shalom. May the peace of God overshadow you and just totally submerge you in His love, and the rest of this Sabbath be wonderful for you. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Bow with me in prayer.